use the, oh, there I am. Okay, what I want to do now is just introduce the four local partners that are going to be sharing with us, and then they'll go ahead and come up one after another and do that. But before I do that, I want to make sure that I mention that Bob and Susan Huber are also on our committee, and they have been for many, many years, so I didn't want to fail to mention that and honor them as well. But for this service, we have four of our partners coming up. So we have Stephanie Yulin, who is representing Young Life of Dulles South. So earlier this morning, we had from Fairfax, but now we have from Dulles South in Loudoun. FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Justice Montgomery, is going to be sharing with us. And then Sanctity of Life, which we've partnered with for a long time. Gail Johnson is going to be sharing with us. And last but not least, New Commandment. Jeff Danforth is going to be sharing with us about that ministry. So with that, I welcome Stephanie to the floor. It's all yours.
Yes, thank you. Hi, guys. My name is Stephanie Yulin. I am the area director for Young Life in the Dulles South area, and I just brought two of my friends up here with me, Sarah and Ishan, and they're going to share a little bit about their stories in just a second. But I wanted to first thank you guys for inviting us to be part of this morning and today. Cedar Run has been incredibly significant in the ministry in the Dulles South area. If it wasn't for you guys partnering with us from the very beginning, Young Life wouldn't even be there. So first of all, thank you for so much for that. I know many of you guys are familiar with what Young Life is, but for those of you who may not be, Young Life is an international organization that's dedicated to reaching lost teens so that every kid might have the opportunity to hear about who Jesus Christ is and then to help them grow in their faith. In the Dulles South area, we are currently in Freedom High School, John Champ High School, Lunsford Middle, and Mercer Middle School. We have Young Life Club, which is directly for the high school students, and a Wildlife Club. We get our name because we work with middle school kids who are a little wild. So we work with the high school students and middle school students there. On average, we have roughly 20 high school students that come on a weekly basis to something we call campaigners, which is a weekly time where we get to dive deeper in the Word and Scriptures and talk about who is God, how do we love God, how do we love each other, and then how do we love others. And then we also have a something we call Club, which is our outreach ministry to those that we invite our high school age friends to come and experience just some authentic fun. It sounds sometimes a little cheesy when I say it like this, but we play games, we sing songs, but generally we just laugh together and we just have a lot of fun. And then we share about who the person of Christ really is. For middle school, for Wildlife, we have roughly about 40 students coming on a monthly basis for that. It could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. This past summer, we had roughly 50 middle school students go to Wildlife Camp and a little less than 50 go to our high school camp, our Young Life Camp. So we had almost 100 students from the Dulles South area go to a Young Life or Wildlife Camp, and they got to hear about who Jesus was. And it was amazing and incredible, and about 20 of them accepted Jesus Christ for the very first time in their life. And since then, they've been able to come back home into our communities, get plugged in with campaigners and their leaders, and they are actively growing in their faith. So it's just amazing and beautiful, and we're just very thankful for that. This past weekend, we went to Rockbridge. We also have besides our summer camp, we have our fall weekends. And we took almost 40 students down to Rockbridge, our camp in Virginia. And seven students dedicated their life to knowing and following Jesus just this past weekend. And I think we have a picture. Do we have a picture of that group? This is our group that we brought just this weekend. A lot of beautiful faces. So seven of these students just met Jesus for the first time. So it was awesome. You can leave that up if you want. Since I was here about 2 years ago, we have grown. We have added to our team of volunteer leaders. So currently we have a team of seven volunteer leaders that are dedicated to reaching our high school aged students. Some of these leaders are actually alumni from Freedom High School from when Young Life started 8 years ago. So I think if you guys were in the first service, I didn't hear all of Emma's talk, but it seemed like she was talking about the legacy that has been in Herndon area. And that is something that we're currently growing in the Dallas South area, which is great. So we have four of our leaders are currently Freedom alum, and we also have two leaders that are teachers in the high schools, which is just really great because the students get to, their leaders are also literally in the hallways, so they see them all the time. We've also been a huge prayer request for a couple of years, but we finally have an adult male wildlife leader, something we've been really actively praying for, so that's a huge celebration. And then we also have been growing our high school-aged leader team. The high school-aged students, this is one of my favorite things, our high school students sometimes give up their Saturday evenings and love middle school students. So these are two of our leaders, and they'll talk about that as well. But we have, high school-aged kids are sacrificing their time to be with middle schoolers. I don't know of any other place that you're really going to see that, so it's kind of amazing when that happens. Collectively, we know hundreds and hundreds of students in our area, but there really are thousands of them. Since I was here last, we have opened another school. So Willard Intermediate is now a school that's opened. And in another 2 years, there's going to be two more schools that open in our area. PVI is currently building a location, and Light Ridge High School will soon be a school. So Willard Intermediate is going to be the middle school that's going to feed into that high school. So not exaggerating, in a matter of 3 years, our area is doubling. Which is incredible and also intimidating. But the Lord has been good, and we have been adding to our team. But there is still so much work to be done. So I will say, even though there's just a need. With the fact that our area is doubling in 3 years, we need more leaders, and we need more committee folks. So I'll just... shameless plug, if you guys know any adults in our area that would love to partner with us, to be leaders, please get them connected with me. And we do have a local committee. Some of you guys are actually in this room right now. And the committee really is crucial to advancing the work that's going on in our area. We need adults to join our team. So if you guys are in this area, or even if you're in the Fairfax area and want to get plugged in with Phyllis and Emma, we need adults also to help us with a variety of things that we have going on. So with that being said, I'm going to just introduce Sarah and Ishan, and they're going to just really quickly share with you guys why Young Life has been meaningful for them.
Okay. Hi, guys. So like Steph said, my name is Sarah. And 2 years ago, I considered myself an atheist. I knew the name Jesus, and I had heard people talk about him, but I didn't believe in him at all, and I didn't really want to. But all it took was one really good friend of mine bringing me to Campaigners one time, and I got to hear about not just who Jesus was, but how much he loved me. And it was really intriguing, and it was really incredible to be in a room of 20 to 30 people that many of which I had never met, but loved me so greatly from the first time that I ever saw them. So I continue to go, and I continue to be a part of Campaigners and participate in the clubs. And it was really, really incredible. And last year was my first time going to our fall weekend, and that was when I decided to start my relationship with the Lord. And it was amazing because I did it surrounded by 40 to 50 other people that were encouraging me and loving me. And I had leaders that were pursuing me to follow this path and just picking me up with every step along the way. And that alone to me was kind of proof of God's existence, because I always had my doubts of whether he was really real and whether he was really there watching over us. But I cannot imagine a world where people love each other this much, where they're coming from different backgrounds, different economic statuses, different cliques in high school even, and just loving each other so greatly in this one place. I just, in my mind, that's not possible without the Lord. So I dedicated my life to Christ and have continued to grow in that relationship. And now I have the incredible opportunity to lead as a volunteer wildlife leader and lead my middle school friends in the same path that I went on. And just watching them grow in their faith, even as sixth graders, even as such young kids, is so, so absolutely amazing. And it has been one of the greatest joys.
Awesome. So for me, about a year ago, I actually just got a text from Sarah, and she was like, you should come to club. And I was like, club for what? And so basically she was like, Young Life, it's this amazing organization where kids just dedicate their life to Christ. And I was like, you know, in my household, my dad was actually Hindu, and religion was actually kind of just a loose word thrown around the house. My mom was a Christian, my dad was Hindu, my sisters were in Punjabi, so there was three different religions going around. I didn't really have a certain direction. So I went with Young Life, and I met one of the older leaders, Tyler Young, and when I went to club, he was there the first time, and it was actually a blast, you know. We played a bunch of games and had a bunch of activities done and sang songs. And then Tyler introduced me to camp, and that's where we spent a whole week over the summer, you know, learning about Christ and everything. And that's when I basically accepted the Lord into my life. And it was probably the biggest thing that's ever impacted me, because I get to share with plenty of people I love, like she said before. And it's never been, it's been amazing, basically. What this organization has done for me, there's no words that can do it justice, because it's just crazy, you know. Like, 60 people coming together every week, and then 20 after, like, the consistency is crazy, and nothing else way to say it. So I can't wait to be a wildlife leader, too, and after I graduate Freedom, I'm going to be a Young Life leader, too.
I think... Do we have one more picture to show? I'm not sure if we do or not. Yeah, they're just beautiful. I just want you guys to see them because they're just really good friends. So anyway, these are my good friends, Sarah and Ishan. Thank you guys for welcoming us today. And thank you guys for just your prayers and support that you have given us in our area. So thank you for letting us be here today.
A young basketball coach by the name of Don McLennan, his heart was touched by God, and he saw this vision for FCA, and he was bold and courageous enough to reach out to a gentleman named Branch Rickey and asking for a five-minute meeting.
Turned out that 5 minutes ended up being 5 hours. If athletes could endorse automobiles or cigarettes, why couldn't they endorse this thing that was about life?
If we are to have a Christian fellowship, you know you could upset America before the next generation is over. You could. You know you could.
FCA grew quickly enough, but was it just an idea, or was it an idea that would go someplace? Athletes and coaches giving their time, giving their financial support, giving their witness to Christ. There's something more than the playing field. There's something of the field of life and the joy and fellowship and power that God gives. Can FCA sustain this kind of growth? Can it live with its success? And I'm convinced that it's because of the humility, service, sacrifice, just a miraculous thing.
Well, good morning. My name is Justice Montgomery, and I have with me Laura Bowers, and we serve with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And we're technically over Greater Fairfax North, which is considered the northern part of Fairfax County and all of Arlington County. But first, Cedar Run, thank you so much for creating this space for us to talk about local ministries and how God is really advancing the ministry, or his gospel through different local ministries. But I briefly want to talk about our mission and our vision and let you know how much of a huge part the church is in fulfilling our mission and our vision. So our vision is to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes. So if I can break that up for you, at the end of the day, we want to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ. Why? Because we believe every single person on this earth is what? God's creation. And they're loved by Jesus, and God desperately wants them to be reconciled back to a relationship with them through Jesus Christ. And we believe that as a ministry, we take a step back and we say, where can we invest our time the most? And we think through coaches and athletes, the platform of sport. We know that at the end of the day, sports, people who have that platform, they're making an impact on this society. And our youth are going through sports and they're playing sports, and we're trying to figure out how can we reach the most people, and we think through investing in coaches and athletes. Our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. So that's where you play a huge part of our ministry. We believe that as we meet these coaches and these athletes at their campuses, when we present the gospel to them, and a lot of kids and coaches and athletes are being saved, but if they're not being plugged into a local church, we believe that we're not fulfilling our mission. So really what we want to do as staff is meet them where they are, but also provide a platform for the church to be a part of the ministry. So that's our ministry in a nutshell, if I could say. But if you see, I think if you can switch the slides, you'll see some of the schools that we're involved in. We're over 15 schools, if you have that other slide. Okay, so we're in the northern part of Fairfax County. So we have ministry in every school except Westfields, Fairfax, and also in Arlington County. We don't have ministry in Wakefield and Washington and Lee, but we're working on connections, which is great. But I also want to just briefly mention some ways that you can be a part of it in volunteering. So a lot of our ministries or a lot of our campuses, we have a multi-sport huddle. So a multi-sport huddle is student-led, and we need three key people. We need a huddle coach or a teacher sponsor, somebody to open up the room. We need also student leaders to lead it. So what we want to do as a ministry, it's called E3. We want to engage, equip, and empower coaches and athletes to lead their peers in spreading the gospel. So we want to give them that platform. And also we want to have a local volunteer from a church. So it can be a youth pastor. It can be somebody who just loves sports and loves Jesus and who wants to invest in the youth in real-time discipleship and give them that platform and walk alongside them as they share the gospel to their peers. Another thing is parents. If you want to bring food, that's how you engage people. And this is a quick story. So there's a guy named Andrew. I was at Langley High School, and I was sitting outside of the classroom or standing outside the classroom with one of our youth pastor that is helping out from Holy Trinity Church. And he walks by, and we have donuts. So he looks at the donuts, then he looks at me, and he looks at the donuts, and he looks at me, and he's like, I want some donuts. I was like, you can come to FCA. If I don't know if you've heard of it. He's like, I'm not a Christian. I was like, you don't have to be a Christian to come. You can come. So he comes, and he asks all these good questions about God and about heaven. And what we want to do is give a platform for the students to respond. And the students are telling them about heaven. And then right after that, he texts one of our leaders and says, when is your next meeting? Because I want to come. And that's awesome because it's not anything that I'm doing. I'm just getting out of the way of these students to have the biggest platform to encourage their peers because they're the ones that's walking the hallways each and every single day, right? Another thing is if you're a past or former coach or athlete, character coaching is huge. So character coaching, it's in the name. It's literally just developing character. So you can, if you love basketball or if you love soccer, you just go to a certain team and you just walk alongside those coaches and those athletes. And our ministry, or at least our strategy, is to go to and through the coach because we believe athletes have influence, yes, but they're also listening to the coach. And that's the coach is the one that's setting the atmosphere. So we want to reach the heart of a coach, and character coaching is a way to do that. So again, if you just love Jesus and you love sports, there's a way for you to be a part of the ministry. Please stop by and just get to know us. And again, get to know Laura as she serves a lot of the schools in the area. So thank you so much for your time.
I'm Gail Johnson, and I am the training coordinator at Sanctity of Life Ministries. And first off, you invited us here, and you had mentioned that you're honoring us. I would like to honor you as a church community. This is my first time of being part of your church, and I'm just overwhelmed at the ministries that you support, the love that you have for the gospel message, and just the enthusiasm that we in the ministry fields that you support really are encouraged by. So it's my honor to be here, and I'm thanking Ross for inviting me to be here. First off, I'd like to say that you have been supporting our ministry for 18 years, and it's been a very generous support, and you've been standing for the unborn. Sanctity of Life Ministries is about standing for the unborn, but it is mostly about sharing the gospel, which every single ministry up here is about sharing the gospel. And we do this in our ministry through our mission, which is twofold: sharing the gospel, affirming life in the womb. And we do this through compassionate counseling, leading with love, which another ministry mentioned, leading with love, options education, free medical services, where our clients receive a free pregnancy test as well as an ultrasound, prenatal and parenting education, most important, post-abortion Bible studies that provide healing. There are an estimated 60 million abortions that have taken place over the last 45 years. So there are millions of men and women that have been affected by this choice, and there's great healing from that decision, and we're about that as well. And finally, we sum everything up by referring many of our clients to community services. Because of your support, we're able to provide these free services to over 700 clients annually. Now, that is a large number, and it paints the picture that we're doing something, but it really doesn't paint the picture of the transformational component of our ministry, which starts with a hurting, desperate young woman or middle-aged woman, which you'll find out as I go further along. They come in with some form of desperation, and they leave empowered, encouraged, and loved to make a decision for themselves as well as for their baby. Kay Gardner, who I know was a member of this church, wrote up a compilation of the clients that we serve. Because who is she? You may think it's the baby, but in reality, no, it's the woman coming through our doors. And who is she? She is 22 years old. She is 17. She is 30. She is turning 40. She is a server at a restaurant. She is a pharmacist. She's a college freshman. She's a high school dropout. She is entering graduate school. She is jobless. She has just been promoted. She is single. She is married. She is cohabitating. She's in love. She's abandoned by her boyfriend. She is churched. She has no interest in spiritual things. She is living at home. She's estranged from her parents. She is a cultural Muslim. She's a practicing Buddhist. She is a Christian. She's Hindu. She's agnostic. She says she's nothing. She's Asian, Caucasian, African-American, and Middle Eastern. You can see there's no stereotype here. She can be any one of us. But what she does have in common is that she comes into our center at a crisis point and at a crossroads in her life. She needs to make a decision, and that's where we step in as first responders, trying to help walk her through a decision that she must make. When she comes in, this is a divine appointment. God has brought this client through our doors, and he begins to accomplish the impossible in our 45-minute counseling meeting. We are able to gain favor with this client that we have never met before, and who most likely we have very little in common with. And God opens up the heart of that client, and she shares with us the most intimate and private details of her life circumstances. And then God gives us the godly wisdom, supernatural wisdom, that we need to be able to minister to her and to her needs. So one client wrote this. Her name is Jessica, and she said, "Walking into the center, I felt a peaceful presence, so different from the abortion clinic I had just visited. The staff was so nice, and a sweet counselor treated me kindly and assured me that no matter what my decision was, she was there to help me, counsel with me, and pray with me. She showed me God's mercy and grace. She showed me the love of Jesus. This melted my heart. Jessica did pray to receive Christ that day, and she did make a decision to save her baby, a baby girl who she now says is a blessing to her entire family." Well, this compassionate counseling, leading with love, as somebody else says, lays the foundation for the transformational message of the gospel. Sanctity of Life Ministries is indeed a global mission field because we have clients coming from over 50 different countries who are Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, atheist, agnostics. People do come to receive Christ even from these backgrounds. It's truly a profound moment when you see the Holy Spirit open up the hearts and the minds of someone seemingly so far away from the gospel, yet, as we do know, he's not far away from any one of us, as Paul said. So one such client said, "I walked in for an ultrasound and a pregnancy test, and I walked out with Jesus Christ." That's what we're about. Armed with the gospel, the client is now ready for the free medical services, which I mentioned was the pregnancy test and the ultrasound. This ultrasound is the time the mom sees her baby for the very first time. And it is this image, along with the compassionate counseling and the empowerment of the gospel message, that she then makes a choice for life. So I'd like to... one nurse calls this reality TV at its best, and I have a video to talk about one such client.
I will never forget this young lady. She was 19 years old when she first called the center. We learned that she was abortion-minded, and so an appointment was scheduled for a pregnancy test, abortion information, and an ultrasound. The client shared that she was attending school and that the relationship with the man who would be the father of her baby was complicated. Her pregnancy had already been confirmed through a doctor. However, what she really wanted was information on an abortion. She shared that neither she nor the father of the baby was in a position to care for a baby. I remember her so vividly saying, "I just wanted out." All of her options were shared with her, but she remained definite about having an abortion as she left the center that day. This baby's future appeared hopeless. 2 days later, she returned for an ultrasound that revealed a viable 25-week pregnancy. She was almost halfway there. She was surprised at the size of her baby and became very animated as the nurse conducted the scan. Suddenly, during the scan, she said, "Oh, I hope it's a girl." Everything had changed. The image she saw on the ultrasound screen changed her reality that day. Following the ultrasound, she signed up for our support prenatal and parenting classes. She was very proactive and completed over 10 sessions. She has had her baby, a girl, and she absolutely adores her.
That's one of the many stories that we see on a weekly basis. But whatever the choice a client makes, whether they choose to have their baby or even choose to have an abortion, we are there for them. We come alongside them and we encourage them to participate in post-abortion healing studies. And we have those studies for both men and for women. We offer this on one-on-one counseling or through an eight-week Bible study program. And here's one woman who talked about the impact that this study had for her. One woman commented after completing this study, "My identity was no longer defined by my two abortions and the worthlessness I felt, but my true identity is in Christ, fully forgiven, loved, and accepted by God." She went on to say, "In addition to regaining my true identity, I learned that my two aborted babies are not dead. They are alive and in heaven with Jesus. God showed me that I have a son, Timothy, and I have a daughter, Hannah, and I'm going to one day see them as a completed family, my husband, my living daughter, and my two aborted children." That is also many of the stories that I've actually had the privilege of leading women who have had an abortion to this form of completion and renewal in life. It is truly a wonder of God. There are so many in need, as I mentioned before, millions of men and women. They say 2 out of every 5 women are as a churchgoer. So this is a very prominent issue that God is calling them, "I have life for you," and restoral. So please, you know, consider helping women find that choice. So how can you get involved? Well, volunteers, volunteers, volunteers. We have 2 centers, Alexandria and Fairfax. There are 13 employees. There are 17 volunteers. And we are now expanding our hours to Saturday. And that is the busiest time for abortions in the abortion clinic. So we're looking to make ourselves available during that time. Secondly, there's our Life Builders program, which is a financial program. We call it our Fishes and Loaves program, no matter how small a contribution it is, it's never too small. God takes those fishes and loaves and multiplies them miraculously to support our ministry, which he has been doing for the last 34 years. And there's also the Life Bridges program, which is related to the church community, where they partner with us, take those women who have made decisions for Christ, inculcate them into their church bodies, and disciple them so that they can further grow in their relationship with Christ. And then finally, we need prayer. It is through prayer God brings these clients to our centers. It is through prayer that we get volunteers, that they're encouraged, that they have the courage to share the gospel and to take this on. And we also need prayers, obviously, for the continued financial support. So thank you for this time to be able to share with you what we're doing at Sanctity of Life Ministries, and I'm happy to talk with anybody in the lobby who would like to get involved.
James 1:27. Religion that is pure and genuine in the sight of God the Father will show itself by such things as visiting orphans and widows in their distress and keeping oneself uncontaminated by the world. I picked this scripture because it speaks to the idea of coming alongside folks that need some encouragement, and there may be some distress in their life, and some of us like to get involved in that kind of thing and help out. I mean, Scripture is full of these references. The book of Ruth, Titus, Acts. There are lots of opportunities to read and understand the heart of God and understand that we need to get out and participate in his ministry. I like the idea that this verse says pure and genuine. And I really, when you talk about new commandment, and I'll talk about it in a minute, The men that are involved in it, really, there's no ulterior motive. It's about going and spending some time and basically showing up and seeing how God works through us. It's about us who are believers going out and really, you know, understanding the love that God has shown us and the grace, and then extending that out to women and families in our congregation. So 7 or 8 years ago, I was on the commute on the Dulles Toll Road, and I heard a broadcast of new commandment through Focus on the Family. They talked about a men's ministry, a monthly men's ministry, where guys would maybe a team of three or four would get together in the morning. They'd hear some scripture that applies to serving families and widows and single moms. And then they would pray for those women, families, and then they would go out for 2.5 or 3 hours, depending upon what was needed. I don't know, it just, God just kind of touched my heart with it. I went to David and Mark, and I said, hey, does this sound like anything that you all would encourage here at Cedar Run? And they said, well, you know, we've actually been praying about some sort of ministry just like that. And I said, well, do you want to jump in and try it? And, of course, they supported that. I'm going to let you in on a secret, though. This was already going on at Cedar Run. You all know what's going on in this congregation and people serving one another. I think it was Al Dentino and Tom Pennington and Jack Keppel, Dan Butler. They were already doing this with Wendy Hudson-Byler at that time. So the model was already there, and the new commandment structure, framework, whatever you want to call it, we just kind of put it around that and had 4 or 5 teams going out. So it wasn't anything new to this congregation. It was already going on, but it's been a great ride for the 7 or 8 years. Okay, so what do we do? If you think about a honey-do list, most husbands have that at home. That's basically what we work on. You know, there are times when we say, "Nope, that's not where our expertise is," or it might be a liability issue. But yeah, it can be. So, for instance, in the last 2 or 3 months, we've cleaned out a shed. We've repaired drywall. We raked leaves last time, believe it or not. I mean, it's just those things that can weigh on a single mom's heart, or a widow, or a family who needs a little help. So that's all it is. It's just practical helps. But in the midst of that, we talk to the care receiver, as we call them, and we pray with them. And we're building community. We're building relationships. One of the points I have somewhere down further on the page is that if you're a male and you're new at Cedar Run, and you're just not meeting anybody, you will have an instant small group if you come to New Commandment next Saturday, okay? And that small group is comprised of the 2 or 3 other guys that will go with you. You'll horse around, you'll rake leaves, whatever you do at the home, and then you'll know the care receiver. And when you come back in here on Sunday morning, you will have folks that you can say, hi to. And I think it's a great opportunity to build community within our midst. I think the essence of New Commandment is really about using these kind of activities to bridge, and kind of being redundant here, but just act as a bridge from the the men in the congregation who want to support to those women and family who appreciate guys coming in and taking care of some things. I'm going to go with Philippians 2:12 as my last verse. And it's really the last part of verse 12. It says, complete the salvation that God has given you with a proper sense of awe and responsibility. Now, this is out of the Phillips translation, but I like the idea that we as guys, and this is just one avenue by which God helps us to kind of work out our salvation, but it just makes sense that God has placed this in front of us, and we are totally in awe of watching how he works. We have had several of our care receivers get married over the last few years. We've seen answers to prayer in the area of employment. We're just along for the ride, you know. And it's great to be able to share in some of the joys that these families experience. Not because of us, we just happen to be there at the right time, and that we can praise God as a result of that. So next Saturday, I think we're going to have a men's breakfast. David may have more on that. But we're going to have a men's breakfast, not related to New Commandment, but after that breakfast at 9 o'clock, we're going to go ahead and go out in our teams of three or four. Therefore, if you any of you men who would want to try it out, just show up. That's all we ask, okay? We've got one guy who comes to New Commandment, and he wears flip-flops. I talk about his steel-toed flip-flops all the time. You don't have to have a tool belt. You don't have to have a hat. You don't have to have a tape measure. Many times the women that we serve have more tools than any of us, okay? I'm serious. That's great. Okay, so, and if this ministry isn't a good fit for right now, you know, you can do the same thing on your neighborhood block. I just counted noses on our block in South Riding, and if you go up the street, there are basically 25 homes, and I know of at least five of those homes that have single moms or widows in them. So husband and wife, if it's something that you all can do, just go for it. I know we all know single moms and widows in our lives, and they would love a visit and love some practical ministry. Practical love, okay? So I'll close with one story. I just heard a couple weeks ago. There was a group of men that went to a woman's home and helped her with a particular effort in her home. I'm trying to kind of keep the details at a high level so we don't know who we're talking about. But these men went and spent three and a half hours there, and they wish they could have stayed longer, but that's they couldn't do that. What I understand, though, is that later that night, that woman was talking to some folks in her family, and of the appreciation that she had for the men, and one of these women who were receiving that information described her as giddy. That's G-I-D-D-Y, right? And I thought, isn't that sweet? You know, these four guys go in, spend some time, help out, pray with her, and she, at least for that particular effort, that one has kind of been checked off her to-do list. And that's what makes New Commandment sweet, is we just go in and kind of do what we normally do, and people are blessed as a result of it. We are blessed as a result of it. So I'll be out in the lobby if anybody wants to come by and say hi. I think Dave Woodell will be out there, as well as Tom Pennington, too. So feel free to jump in either today or next Saturday.